Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next, right here, 9 to 11. Not going to want to miss that. And right now, we're being joined by the great Bill Huber, Packers on SI. You can find him on social media at Bill Huber NFL. Easy for me to say. Bill, welcome back to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. How are you, Andy?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for taking some time this morning. I know this is a little bit of a slight dead period in the Packers calendar. We don't get very many of them, so I hope you're enjoying a little bit of some time off. But you did a epic series recently that I wanted to talk to you about right away. You did a great job talking to a lot of the coaches for these Packers rookies that they just drafted and trying to get a little bit more, you know, kind of information, feedback, and just some really great stuff about all these rookies from the class. So I wanted to start there and just kind of ask you, what were some of your key takeaways from that series that you did interviewing a lot of these coaches?
Yeah, you know, it's the thing where, you know, you were at the draft, you know, Goody's talking about how they want to pick guys who love football, and that's kind of what they all said, and I never asked them if they love football. It just kind of came up in the conversations. First of all, I do want to say that people are going to say, yeah, well, of course they're going to say that about their players. Well, like, nobody has to return my phone call. They're all recruiting. In the case of Colin Oliver, his coach is at a different school. Like, all these guys eagerly responded. Like, Anthony Belton's coach called within 15 minutes of me emailing the school. So I would say all these guys love their players. They think they love football. And, you know, you get done talking to get drafted eight Hall of Famers. But it's the not just the talent part of it, but the kind of the intangible qualities of that they work and they're coachable and all those things. That's kind of what stuck out to me about all those picks.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly what you want to hear, and it's not super surprising. You know, Green Bay values their quote-unquote Packers people. As you, you know, kind of hear back from, like, Anthony Belton's coach and things like that, you know, obviously, again, the love for football and that those intangible qualities stood out. What did you kind of get a feel for that maybe some of these players are going to be able to bring to the team from an on-field standpoint?
Yeah, you know, with Golden, it was just how he just forced his way into being Texas's number one receiver. I mean, he just arrived on campus and he was doing fine, but he's always in the right spot at the right time. He worked hard. He earned the coach trust of the coaches and the coaches and the quarterbacks plural. So that's why he became so prolific down the stretch in those big games, is he just kind of forced the coaches to put him in those premier positions. Like for Golden, they had in that playoff game against Arizona State, was like fourth and a mile in overtime, and they put Golden in the feature position, and he wins his round, and he scores a touchdown against the next overtime. So that's what stuck out with him. Anthony Belton's coach made sure to practice him a lot at right tackle, only because he knew he was going to go to the NFL, and he just wanted to get him ready. He had no intention of ever playing him in the games, but that's kind of the forward-thinking view that these coaches take of I got to get this guy ready for the NFL. Maybe at left tackle won't be his best spot, so I'm going to get him reps at right tackle. So he took a lot of right tackle reps on campus.
Interesting.
Davion Williams' coach is phenomenal. First, it's Malcolm Kelly. He was with the Packers. Actually, no, that was – I'm sorry, I'm screwing myself up. Chris Jackson is Matthew Golden's coach. He was with the Packers when they drafted Javon Walker in the first round. So
okay,
kind of interesting little tie-in there. Steve Van Williams coach Malcolm Kelly, he was an NFL receiver. Talking about how unselfish he was, like Steve Van Williams is going to be an NFL receiver, but he eagerly latched onto becoming a Wildcat quarterback / running back. It's really not going to help his draft stock, right, to be playing running back. But he eagerly did that to help the team because TCU's offense was struggling, and they thought, how do we get our offense playing better? Well, we make sure we get the ball in our best guy's hands. Or how do you make sure of that? Well, you just snap it to him and let the guy go to work. So, and I do think that's probably, he dropped a bunch of passes, as you know. That probably has something to do with it, Andy, that he's practicing other positions besides receiver.
For sure.
So I think that's out there too. Baron Sorrell's coach, same as you had agreement. They just absolutely loved the guy as a leader, as a player, and all those intangible things that Green Bay talked about. That's what they liked about him.
Love it. Like I said, it was an incredible series. Make sure to go check it out over on Packers on SI, and you can check out all those articles by Bill Huber. Again, we're being joined by Bill Huber at Bill Huber NFL is where you can find him on social media. You also had a great article recently. You know, some rookies who potentially could deliver right away or who must deliver right away for Green Bay. You know, maybe a player or two on that list that you think maybe can come in and have a big impact for the Packers right away.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matthew Golden's the obvious one. I think Steven Williams does too. You know, you could certainly argue that they could have gone D lineman there and that would have been better for the team. You can make the argument for sure. But I mean, he's just so intriguing. Like, Jaden Reed has this important role as the guy who gets the ball on jet sweeps and receiver screens. But as we know, he's 187 pounds, and maybe that's factored into some of the durability issues that he's just not built to sustain that kind of stuff. At 222 pounds, Steven Williams is built to take that stuff. So, you know, I had a scout who called him Debo Samuel Light, and I think that's a good comparison. He's going to be able to take all those jet sweeps, the reverses, the end of rounds, the receiver screens, and at 220 pounds, he's going to be able to take a beating there. So it's easy ways to get the ball into a good guy's hands, and I think it gives you the added bonus to it. Now Jaden Reed can just go play receiver, and he's damn good at playing receiver. So I think there's some benefit there to Jaden Reed, too, that he's not going to be asked to be getting the ball in jet sweeps where he's really good because you can give the ball to a bigger Savion Williams. And then I think Warren Brinson has to have a big role just because of the loss of T.J. Slayton, who's, I'm not saying T.J. Slayton was a great player, but he started every game for a reason the last 2 years, and the run defense is really good because of him. And like Andy, who's going to take a spot as the run defending guy?
Yeah.
Right? Nobody. They don't have anybody. So it's... Is it Warren Brinson? You better be, to some extent.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the Georgia kids, right? It's either Warren Brinson or Nasir Stackhouse, the undrafted free agent. You're trying to replace it with a sixth rounder or a UDFA is where you're kind of at right now, which is a really interesting position.
Exactly.
And what I've talked about, too, is what worries me even more is, and I know Kenny's not, you know, coming off his greatest season ever, but you know, if all of a sudden he goes down, and now you're really in a situation where it's like, man, you're putting a lot of faith in Warren Brinson and or I guess maybe Nasir Stackhouse to be kind of a primary run defender, and you don't have a lot of beef after that. Devontae Wyatt's more of a pass rusher, and then, you know, Carl Brooks is not it. Colby Wooden's not it. So they definitely need one of these two, if not maybe both of these Georgia rookies, to kind of step up in some way, unless they can find a way to get a different defensive tackle. And it's really slim pickings right now.
Yes, 100%. 100% agree with that. I think it's just it's a huge need, because you can talk about rushing the quarterback and all these things, but you can't rush the quarterback on second and four and third and one all the time.
No, you cannot. You have to eat your vegetables on early downs to get to those later downs where you can actually rush the passer a little bit more. So hopefully they can continue to do that. They did a good job of it last year. But like you said, T.J. Slayton was a literal and figurative big piece of that. Of course, we're going to get a Packers schedule finally this week, Bill. I'm not sure where you're at in the Packers schedule, like importance of the, like for me, it's like it's fun, but we also know who they're going to play already. So, and you know, we're going to be covering all of the games anyway. So it's not of like a huge importance, I guess, for you, you know, maybe some travel and stuff like that. But what are you looking forward to the schedule release this week?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I already got my schedule story written. I just have to go copy and paste the games in the right order. So,
right
to me, this takes a while to dig into it, is I want to know not just where Green Bay's bye week is, but I want to know where their opponents' bye weeks are.
Yeah.
Like, how many opponents are they going to have to play where this team has had a bonus week of rest on Green Bay's coming off a Monday night game, and you feel like you're just getting totally hosed. I don't think there's any of those last year. And compared to past years where I feel like they're on the short end of it a couple times. So I do think the rest advantage is what I call them. Clever name for it. Where do they have the rest advantage, and where do they not have that? That's, to me, that's the big thing. And will they ever host a week one game? That's Matt LaFleur. Will Matt LaFleur ever coach one?
Yeah, that's, I think, the very interesting thing. We of course, found out the opening game today, and that is going to be Cowboys and Eagles. And I think it was the Eagles and the Packers who have been the longest teams without a opening, opening round week one game. Now the Eagles have one. We'll see if the Packers can actually get one as well. That will be interesting. I mean, at some point, I mean, there's even been reports that maybe it's been you that's reported it, that the Packers have asked for it in the past, right? And they still have not been granted a home game. Like, it's in week one, it seems really crazy that this has been such an ongoing thing for them.
It is. And it wouldn't make us a big deal, I mean, other than the oddity part, if you could backload the games, home games into December, and they would actually win those December games.
But, right.
They have had all sorts of problems winning in quote-unquote Packer weather. So I think you just take your home games and where you get them. If you can get one in week one, that'd be kind of cool, I suppose.
All right, let's get to the most important thing. Is we're being joined by Bill Huber, Packers on SI. You can find him on social media at Bill Huber NFL. We've had some fun here with the Taylor Algersma journey and trying to figure out if he's actually going to sign with the team or not. He was supposed to be in Buffalo Bills minicamp this past weekend. He was not because, according to you and your report, he was in Green Bay for a second interview, which I'm not sure I've ever really heard of before, for especially a rookie minicamp tryout player. But what's the latest on Taylor Algersma?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he came in last night. We were told weekend, and I believe Sunday night would still be weekend. Look, he's going to sign. I mean, he's not going to skip a chance to go to Buffalo if he's not signing here. So I know I'm certainly not an immigration expert, but I would think there's probably some hoops to jump through, right, to go from a Canadian resident to working in the United States, or visa or immigration, whatever it is. I'm no expert on those things, but
right.
I think it's a lot more complicated than just signing a quarterback who played at, you know, Pitchfork Creek or Burning Stump or something like that. So, yeah, he's coming. I would assume they'll be coming here today. I would think they'll sign. Again, he's not going to skip Buffalo if he doesn't have something lined up here. So, you were at rookie camp. The guy can throw a football.
Yes, he can.
I am bullish on this guy, and I've talked to a scout, I've talked to his personal coach, I've talked to a Canadian Football League coach, and man, these guys think he's going to be a real player. I can see why Green Bay likes him, and why he wasn't signed immediately after the draft is confounding to me.
Yeah, that was kind of the weird part as well, especially, again, they brought him in for a top 30 visit. But no, we could not glean much from rookie minicamp, Bill. There was not much to see there. I joked it probably could have been an email. But for the most part, that was the one thing you could take away is like, yep, he can spin it. There is no concern about that. As Matt LaFleur said, his arm is live. It is talented. And he's a really intriguing kid. So I would love to see him come in. And I think just battle with Sean Clifford for that number three spot. I'm all in. I think that'd be a ton of fun and just kind of a nice side story to kind of keep track of through the course of the season if that does happen.
Yeah, I mean, the guy is, I'm going to write the story after he signs, but I talked to in Canada, Canadian college quarterbacks can spend part of training camp with a Canadian Football League team. They're called their internship program. So he spent 2 years with the Toronto Argonauts, not years, but two stints with the Argonauts and another one with, I think it was Hamilton.
Okay.
So I talked to a coach from Toronto who was a coach for the Arizona Cardinals, and Kurt Warner was there. Intelligence-wise, he compared him to Kurt Warner.
Jeez.
A preposterous thing, because when he was in Arizona, Kurt Warner was like a 12-year pro. He was at the end of his career. And to compare him intelligence-wise to Kurt Warner is unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's absurd. To your point, how he wasn't, you know, some team didn't spend a flyer, seventh round pick, or, you know, like you said, just immediately signed him with some signing bonus money it seems really crazy. Cause again, he can spin it. Apparently, like you said, super intelligent. I'm excited. We'll see what ends up happening there, but hopefully, in fact, he does end up in Green Bay, and he could be, like I said, a very fun story to keep track of. Speaking of fun stories to keep track of, Bill Huber, I don't know if you've heard this at all. Jair Alexander has been a topic of conversation this offseason. I don't know if you have any other information or just kind of where your, you know, gut is leaning at this point in time with the entire Jair Alexander situation, but how have you tried to make heads or tails of this entire thing?
Yeah, because I'm not making heads or tails out of it. I have no idea, yeah. Andy. You come out of the season and Goody says what he says, and, you know, Keyshawn Nixon is openly proclaiming himself CB1 in the locker room. It's like everything. It's like everybody knows Jair is gone. Like, the players know he's gone. And here we are, he's not. They don't draft a corner until the seventh round. You come out of the draft thinking, hell, they're going to keep the guy, aren't they?
Yep.
But then Goody says, like, nothing of the sort to make you think that they're going to. Again, I've written this on, I'd say 100 times. That's 5 or 6 times probably over the last couple months. At some point, Goody's got to realize that Jair Alexander is his best guy. Just is. He's their best corner. So that's the conundrum that they're in, is do you trade him for nothing? Do you just cut him just because of all the injuries and the money and all that stuff? Or do you just realize that if we're going to win a Super Bowl, at some point we're going to need to stop a 2-minute drive against a good quarterback and a good receiver, and who gives us our best chance to do that? Is it Keyshawn Nixon or is it Jair Alexander?
Yeah, definitely Jair.
I don't know. It's Jair, if he's healthy and he's invested in all those things. But I don't know.
Like
because,
you said,
again, you come back, even the rookie camp, LaFleur didn't say anything. After the draft, the Gutekunst didn't say anything. I don't know what to make out of it.
It's been confounding. I have no, like you said, I have no idea where this heads from here. It's still such an intriguing situation. And I'm with you. I think this team is clearly better when he's healthy and when he's on it. But of course, that's been the big thing, is he has not been super healthy, to say the least. And yeah, if you can figure out a contract that makes sense for both sides and they're able to do that, I'm wondering too, if like you're at the point now where maybe if he is back with the team, you put a little bit more bubble wrap, maybe don't play him on early downs, figure out a situation where he's only in passing situations just to try to preserve him a little bit more, try to get him for, you know, 10 to 16 games of the season actually. But either way, like you said, they're better with him out there. And if he can be out there, it would be a huge win for Green Bay. All right, before we get you out of here, I've got one other question I wanted to get to here. Again, we're being joined by Bill Huber, Packers on SI. You can find him on social media at Bill Huber NFL. All right, we've got mini camps and OTAs coming up in a couple weeks. We're going to likely get to attend a few practices and kind of see some of these players for the first time, the free agents, and of course, these rookies actually practice. What are you most looking forward to at OTAs and mini camps? What you've got kind of fired up in the back of your mind as things to kind of keep an eye on and maybe write stories about?
Yeah, like everyone, I want to see receivers. I want to see receivers run around and catch bad. I mean, it's the one thing you can get out of these practices. I mean, that's not that it's live, but it's, you know, they're going, right? It's not half-ass blocking and half-ass pass rushing. I want to see Matthew Golden against all those guys. And I want to see if Jordan Love's deep ball to Golden. I want to see at least kind of a hint of what they might do with Savion Williams. I mean, that is kind of the "quote unquote real football" this time of year is the passing game stuff. So I want to see those guys in action, because I came into this draft and I predicted they were going to take a Buka, and I was wrong on that part. I just came to it that they had no chance of winning anything of substance without drastically upgrading the receiver core. Well, they've done that. Let's see them play.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, one of the really fun storylines of the offseason. Of course, when they actually kick off and play the games as well, as just see what they can get out of this receiving core. Bill, I cannot thank you enough for all the incredible work that you do covering the Packers. Hardest working guy on the beat, and legitimately, sincerely, you make, I think, things for a lot of us that cover the team in some way, shape, or form a whole hell of a lot easier for all the time, effort, and energy that you put in, and just all the reports that you end up having. It really goes a long way, and just as a Packer fan myself, getting a greater enjoyment of the team because of all the work that you do. So I appreciate you a ton, and thank you so much for taking some time for us today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very kind, Andy. Take care.
Hey, before we get out of here, anything you want to plug on the way out? Anything you got coming out this week?
Yeah, well, Taylor, I've got like three algorithm stories up. And,
love it.
Yeah, I wrote a story about, they signed two Wisconsin linemen, Tyler Cooper from St. Croix Falls and that Lippy kid from, he's from Milwaukee. So I got a story up on the St. Croix kid and one of the Milwaukee kids coming up here later today.
Awesome. Well, we'll look forward to that as well. Again, thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we'll talk again soon, and hopefully get a little rest and relaxation time before all the hustle and bustle of everything starts.
All right. Take care, Andy. See you soon.
You as well. That's Bill Huber. Follow him on social media at Bill Huber NFL. This is the Packaday Radio Show. We'll be right back with our final segment right after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.